Welcome, sisters. So good to see you. Can't believe it's my last time teaching this year. That's sad for me. I'd like to just, even though I don't have the names, this class could never happen unless the nursery people came every week. Even those of you that don't have any little kids in nursery, this class never could happen without them. So make sure that you let them know how grateful you are. And I'm so grateful for the New Relief Society presidency. They've been so wonderful and so supportive. And also, is Linda Luskin in here? Is she out, or is she out making sure everything goes? Okay. Well, make sure that you, if you find Linda, this class could not happen without her. It couldn't happen without Hazel. Now it can't happen without Linda and Shauna. So just send your love to them, if you would. Nancy talked about the sweet psalmist of Israel, and now we get to move into his words. This man, David, of great depth, he was such a deep, sensitive, emotive, vocal soul. Just love him so much. And the prophet Amos called him the model poet and musician. And we've already heard of his depth of emotions when he had to part with Jonathan. His depth of emotions when he fights Goliath, his depth of emotion and sadness when Absalom and Jonathan and Saul all die. We've seen it. He doesn't hold anything back. He's vocal. He's emotional. He praises God with all that he has. He's out loud. He lives his life out loud. He dances before the ark. As they bring the ark into Jerusalem, he's amazing that way. And I think he's a great example on how we want to live our lives out loud, you know, talking about the Lord, praising him, living in a way that would honor his name. You know, words matter. And the words that, and we're not going to get caught up in who wrote what psalm. It doesn't matter. David wrote many, oh, let's call him Dave. I actually called him Dave. Yeah, Dave wrote many of the words. That's hysterical. Words matter, you know, and the words we use and the semantics we put. Like I, with my boys, if I tell them we're going on a hike, it's torture. If I tell them we're going on a walk in the mountains, all right. Is that true? If I tell my boys we have chores to do, it is brutal in my home. But if I tell them we have stuff to do before they can go hang out, they're all over it. If I tell my boys they've got curfew, there's always a Debbie Downer look. But if I tell them the time they need to be home to make mom happy, they know they do not want to live in a home where mom is not happy. So words matter. And the words that David uses are full of meditation, devotion. You guys, you've read part of the Psalms. You know that they speak to you and all of the things that you're going through. You know, there are many themes running throughout the Psalms. And today I'm going to be focusing on the ones that focus on our love. And really, that could be every single Psalm, because almost every single chapter of the 150 chapters of the Psalms, almost every single one has reference to or speaks directly to our love, the only begotten Son of the Father, full of grace, mercy, and truth. So it's no wonder that out of the 283 citations from the Old Testament that are found in the New Testament, did you know that 116 of those, so almost half, come from the Psalms? It's pretty amazing, isn't it? And that's what we're going to be talking about today and next week. And especially, they focus on his atoning sacrifice. If you look with me in Luke, go there really quickly. We're just going to be in Luke right at the very beginning. Look with me in Luke chapter 24, verse 44, if you would. Right before the Savior ascends into heaven, as he's having one of his final meetings in the flesh with his apostles. So we're in Luke 24, beginning in verse 44. Jesus says these wonderful words in verse 44 of Luke 24. He said unto them, "These are the words which I spake to you while I was yet with you, that all things must be fulfilled, which were written in the law of Moses and in the prophets. And then he says, and also in the Psalms concerning me. More than any other verse of scripture, Jesus quoted from the Psalms. Did you know that? Especially during his atoning sacrifice. That's pretty amazing. And then if you look with me in verse 45, then he opened their understanding that they might understand the scriptures. And he said unto them, thus it is written, and thus it behooved Christ to suffer and to rise from the dead on the third day. So all through his life, he quoted from the Psalms. He read from the Psalms. And the amazing thing is during his sacrifice, so many of the written words that we have that came from his mouth, they came from the Psalms. So it's a really good thing that you're here today. It's a really, really good thing. So think on it. That's amazing. The words that we are going to read today were the words that the Savior of the world read and kept in his heart. And then when he began the atoning sacrifices, suffice for us, these are the words that came out of his mouth. You know, these are words that should be open in our homes. We should be reading from them. I mean, amazing that now we are going to read some of the same words that he spoke while he was going through our stuff. So today is our day, sisters. You know, one of the great things about the Savior, he says, I am the great I am. That is a present tense way of saying. It's I am. You know, we can look back at the past and we can see all the amazing things he's done for us, and we can look forward to the future with hope and optimism. But he is in it right now with you. He is a present tense God. And the stuff that you're going through right now, he knows. So today, you know, my hope today for you is that these words that we read today will be like a cold orange crush climbing a volcano in Guatemala. You know, these words today that you hear will be like a friend when you're running a half marathon who runs back to you and says, there's no way that you're not going to make it. My prayer is that these words might lift and heal your heart. And so to start off today, I've asked one of the young Davids, whom I love and admire so much, and when everyone in the world is nervous about what's to come, she is one of the reasons I'm not nervous about what's to come. Are you kidding me? Ellie Holt's in the world. She's just getting ready to leave to go to Argentina on her mission, and I wanted her to come today as we start these praises to our Lord and come and share her love and her praise for our Heavenly Father and his Son. So I'd like to share a couple minutes with her.
All right. Good morning, sisters. My name is Ellis Holt, and Jill Holt is my mom. And I'm from the Third Ward. My last semester of school just ended, and so I was able to come to this scripture class last week, and Diane asked me if I'd just stand up here and bear my testimony. And I'm so excited to be able to stand up here and to tell you all what I know to be true. My testimony has always been very simple, but there's one thing that I know for sure, is that I have a Heavenly Father and a Savior who love me so much, and that I am a daughter of God. As Diane said, I'm just about ready to leave on my mission to Argentina, and I am so excited, and I'm nervous, and I'm anxious, and just about every emotion out there, I'm feeling it. But the reason I'm going on a mission is simply because I love my Heavenly Father and my Savior. And what makes me excited and calm about going on a mission is that I know that they love me and that they're there for me, and that they'll support me in all I do. I kind of am trying to look at the big picture and things. A year and a half is kind of a long time to be away from your family, but a year and a half is not that long to be able to go out and serve the people of Argentina for my Heavenly Father and my Savior, because I love them so very much. I'm so grateful for the sacrifice that the Savior made so that I will be able to live with my family forever, and that those people I teach will be able to have that same knowledge, that they will be able to live with their loved ones forever. I've been trying to notice Heavenly Father and Jesus Christ in the details of my life each day, and whether it's just helping me to have more patience with my siblings or receiving a text from a friend that brightens my day, they're there in everything we do and in everything we are. And I know this church is true with my whole heart, and I wouldn't be going on a mission if I didn't know it was true. I'm so grateful for the sacrifices that were made on my behalf to be here and to be raised in this gospel and to have an amazing family who teaches the principles of the gospel in their home. And I'm grateful for classes like this where we can come and we can learn each week and be uplifted by the Spirit and be uplifted by those around us and the teachers, and to be able to take away the lessons that we learn and to apply them to our lives so that we can better ourselves and be able to make it back to our Heavenly Father one day, because I know that He's hoping that we all make it back to Him and that all of our decisions are good so that we can make it back to Him. I know that the power of prayer is real, and that if we pray to our Heavenly Father for any decision in our life, whether it be kind of big, like going on a mission for me, or just the little things like finding someone to serve each day, that He will answer our prayers and He will let us know what we're supposed to do. And I'm grateful for this gospel in my life and for the guidance it has given me. And I love all of you, and I'm so grateful for Diane for letting me share my testimony with you today. And I say these things in the name of Jesus Christ, amen.
Church is in good hands, isn't it? I'm not scared at all. Thanks, Ellie. Look out, Argentina, baby. Buenos Aires will never be the same. Very cool. You guys, while she was talking, I thought, you know what, we should start at Luke 4. And then we're going to go immediately to the Psalms, but the Psalms are about Luke 4. And as Ellie was talking about the message she was going to share with the people in Argentina, this is what I thought about. If you look in chapter 4, this wonderful chapter where the Savior stands up and tells about His mission, I want you to notice the words that He uses, because this is what Ellie is going to be telling the people of Argentina. And these are the words that are found throughout all the Psalms. These are the words that heal and lift. Verse 18, the Lord says in chapter 4, He says, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because He has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor." Here's His mission, us. "He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted. He has sent me to preach deliverance to the captives." Isn't that lovely? "And the recovering of sight to the blind, and to set at liberty them that are bruised." Isn't that lovely? All the words in the Psalms today, that's what you're going to hear over and over again. It's all about Jesus. You know, again, Elder Maxwell was asked all the time, "Why do you always talk about the atonement?" He said, "Why should we talk about anything else?" So today, we're going to be focusing on the words in the Psalms that have specific reference to the atoning sacrifice of the Son of God. So are you ready? Okay. We're in Psalms 91. Now, we're going to be all over the place. So get your hands ready. Are your hands ready? You got them moving? We're going to be hearing a lot of papers rustling because we're going to be moving all over. But even though there's 150 chapters, so many of the chapters are very small, okay? So it's not going to be very far with pages that we're going to look at. And as I thought about the first verses that I wanted to share with you as we talk about the atoning sacrifice of the Son of God as found in the Psalms, we have to start always with our Heavenly Father. Always. He is the one. He loved us so much that He has given us His Son. And it's the Son that we look to. But the reason we look to the Son is because Jesus is the only one that can bring us home to the Father. Our love of loves. It is the Father's plan. And it is the Father whom the Savior said, "You're going to all leave me, but my Father will never leave me alone." If you look with me in Psalm 91, and will you begin with me in verse 11, focusing and speaking of the Father, we read, "He shall give his angels charge over thee, to keep thee in all thy ways." Verse 14, speaking of the love of the Father for the Son, because he hath set his love upon me, therefore will I, our Father, deliver him, the Son. I will set him on high, because he has known my name. He shall call upon me, and I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble. I will deliver him, and I will honor him." Look with me back now in Psalm chapter 2, the very beginning of Psalms. Psalm chapter 2, beginning in verse 1 on page 715. The amazing thing when we think about our Heavenly Father and what he has given us in his Son, it's important, you guys, that we always remember that when he gave us his Son, you just compare it, you know, you think about the royal baby, Charlotte, that was just born. You know, the whole world is awaiting her. You know, I looked at her, she's so beautiful, and they're such a cute couple, la, la, la. But everybody is just ecstatic for her. You know, she's fourth in line to be the next Queen of England. And it's a joyous time. And then you juxtapose it with, and I'm not trying to make her feel bad. She doesn't know me, so no big deal. But then you think about Heavenly Father giving us his Son. And everybody misses him, you know. And everybody hates him. And he knows what's awaiting his boy. He knows that the end of the journey is this cross. He knows what's coming. And he gives them to us anyway. Is that the coolest thing of love you've ever heard of? Verse 1 of chapter 2. Thinking about what came against his boy. "Why do the heathen rage, and the people imagine a vain thing? The kings of the earth set themselves, and the rulers take counsel together against the Lord and against his anointed." Verse 6, "Yet I have set my king upon a holy hill of Zion. I will declare the decree, the Lord has sent unto me, thou art my son, and this day have I begotten thee." He is the Son of the Most High, and may we never forget that in this whole atoning sacrifice, it was our Father that allowed it to happen, and at any moment could have stopped it. And he didn't, because he is in love with you. And he wants you to have a champion in his boy. So as we walk through the atonement today, again, may we always keep the Father, the God of gods, in our hearts. I don't think we talk about him enough. We need to be talking about him all the time. You know, do our children know him? Is he a focal point in all that we do? Do we do things because we love him? And we're so grateful to him. You know, the very last words that the Savior said, if you look with me in 31 of Psalms, verse 5. 31, verse 5 is on page 732. These sweet words as he finished his mission. "Into thy hand I commit my spirit. Thou hast redeemed me, O Lord, God of truth." Go with me now to chapter 41. And now we get into the words that the Savior used as he's actually going through and what he knows is going to happen as he goes through the atonement. So as we're looking at these words, I want you to think about something. So as the Savior, he had these words. He looked at them. He read them. When he gets up in the synagogue on that wonderful Sunday to announce his ministry, he looks in the scriptures and he finds the place of Isaiah. Jesus knows these scriptures, and he knew who he was from the Old Testament. This is his book. So I want you to be thinking about this, because throughout his ministry, he's reading from these words, and he sees words and sentences that are telling him about what awaits him. That's pretty amazing. He sees these words and he knows, you know, what's coming. He knows that this is going to happen, which is a whole other ballgame when you know what, it's a whole different thing when you don't know what's going to happen in your life. But if you knew in like a couple years something big was awaiting you, and he knows that. So 41, verse 9. Imagine the feelings that must have come to his heart when he read it and then when it actually is happening. 41, verse 9. Yea, mine own familiar friend. Notice these words, in whom I trusted, which did eat of my bread, he has lifted up his heel against me. My friend, I trusted him, and he betrays me. Go with me to 55, and notice these words, chapter 55, page 748. This is heartbreaking when he thinks about Judas and this betrayal, this loss of a relationship that we all can relate to. When we're having lots of the issues in our lives, you know it and I know it, come because relationships struggle sometimes and are hard. Sometimes you feel betrayed or let down, and it's usually by another person. It's never by him. It's by somebody else. He gets it. So look with me in verse 12. This is heartbreaking. It was not an enemy that reproached me. Then I could have borne it. Neither was it he that hated me, that did magnify himself against me. Then I would have hid myself from him. But it was thou, a man, mine equal, my guide, mine acquaintance. He is the one that let me down. So if right now, sisters, the stuff that's heavy in your pack is because of a relationship of a family member or something where you feel estranged or heartache, he gets it. He knows. We can turn to him in every time, no matter what you're going through. Go with me to chapter 22 of the Psalms. Chapter 22 just kicks it. The whole chapter is amazing. And we're going to read quite a few verses from here. So we're going to stay here, even though I'm going to jump around just so we can just stay here. If you look with me in Psalm 22, beginning in verse 14. It's speaking about his crucifixion and the physical suffering that he will endure. Look at that. Because a lot of the things we go through in this life are physical. Our health, issues that we have with our physical bodies are tough. 14. Notice these words, how amazing. I am poured out like water, and all my bones are out of joint. My heart is like wax. It is melted in the midst of my bowels. My strength is dried up like a potsherd. My tongue cleaveth to my jaws. Remember how thirsty he was. Thou hast brought me into the dust of death. For dogs have compassed me, the assembly of the wicked have enclosed me. And here we have it. They pierced my hands and my feet. I may tell all my bones, they look and stare upon me. They part my garments among them and cast lots upon my vesture. You know, as I just talked about, Elder Maxwell said the Savior had never experienced the atonement before. He knew cognitively, so he knows in his mind what's going to come. But he had never personally experienced the exquisite and exacting process of an atonement before. So Elder Maxwell said, when the agony came, it was so much more worse than even he, with his unique intellect, had ever imagined. Elder Maxwell says he was awestruck. He was astonished. He was amazed and stunned. It took him back. And it's no wonder that he cried out, "Abba, Daddy, please." You know, you read the words, you know what's coming, but until it actually, the experience happens, you don't know. And now he's in it, and he knows. And he does it all because he loves you. 22, verse 7, and amongst all this, this is what's happening to him. Verse 7, all they that see me laugh me to scorn. They shoot out the lip. They shake the head and say, he trusted in the Lord that he would deliver him. Let him deliver him, seeing he delights in him. They mocked him all the time. If you're the Son of God, come down. You know, you talk about angels. Well, if you're him, where's your angels? That ugly word, if. Trying to get him to doubt. But he stayed strong. And the amazing thing to me is our Heavenly Father allowed it to happen. You know, I live in a heightened state of wanting to beat the crap out of anyone that messes with my children. Am I alone in that? We all feel that way, don't we? And yet our Father has shown us the truest act of pure love, because he allows it to happen because of his love for you. So now, whenever we face that crust of irony, that if word, that mockery, that making fun of, for whatever we're involved in, he knows. He gets it. He has been in the deepest of deep waters. 22, verse 1, the apex of all of this, especially with what we've just talked about, the Father has always been there. And now we hear these brutal words. My God, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? Why art thou so far from helping me? And from the words of my roaring, oh my God, I cry in the daytime, but thou hearest not. And in the nighttime, and I'm not silent. Where are you? And as we've talked about many times, this is the apex of his agony. Because we have at this point, not only has the Father withdrawn his spirit, first time. Remember in Gethsemane, the Father sends an angel to comfort him. And now at the apex of his suffering on the cross, where Elder McConkie said that all of Gethsemane returns, the Father of the world, our love of loves, withdraws his spirit from his boy. And the Savior is forsaken. He now is in the deepest of deep waters. There is nothing now, sisters, that any of us will ever go through that he cannot find us. It doesn't matter how deep you are, he can find you. And it happened because a son trusted his father enough, not a blind trust, but a loving trust of giving up his will to his father. And it happened because we had a father that loved us enough to withdraw his spirit from his boy, his precious son. So really, you guys, when we talk about that, don't you want to just be good? Who wants to go out and sin right now? Who wants to go out and be mean? No, you just want to go out and give people the benefit of the doubt. You want to show them our love. He trod the winepress alone. Look with me in Psalm 107. It's on page 786. Verse 26. They mount up to heaven, 107:26. They go down again into the depths. Their soul is melted because of trouble. They reel to and fro and stagger like a drunken man and are at their wit's end. Then they cry to the Lord in their trouble, and he brings them out of their distress. He makes the storm a calm, so that the waves thereof are still. Then are they glad because they be quiet. So he brings them unto their desired haven. Oh, that men would praise the Lord for his goodness and for his wonderful works to the children of men. Same psalm, go back to verse 4. 107:4. They wandered in the wilderness in a solitary way. They found no city to dwell in. Hungry and thirsty, their soul fainted in them. Then they cried to the Lord in their trouble, and he delivered them out of their distresses. Go back over the page. We're still in 107 to verse 13. Then they cried unto the Lord in their trouble, and he saved them out of their distress. He brought them out of darkness and the shadow of death, and he brake their bands in sunder. Isn't that awesome? And then look in 19 and 20 of this same chapter. Then they cry to the Lord in their trouble, and he saves them out of their distresses. He sent his word and healed them and delivered them from their destructions. Go with me now back to Psalm 69. Psalm 69 is on page 757. Beginning in verse 1. Psalm 69, verse 1. Save me, O God, for the waters are come in unto my soul. I sink in deep mire. When there is no standing, I am come into deep waters where the floods overflow me. I am weary of my crying. My throat is dried. Mine eyes fail. Well, I wait for my God. But look in verse 14. Deliver me out of the mire, and let me not sink. Let me be delivered from them that hate me, and out of the deep waters. Let not the water flood overflow me, neither let the deep shallow me up, and let not the pit shut her mouth upon me. Hear me, O Lord, for thy loving kindness is good. Turn unto me according to the multitude of thy tender mercies. You know, through this depression that I have had this year, that you guys have been so good with me about, that I've never had before, I was talking to one of my friends when I was in a very dark place. By the way, I'm feeling so much better. I was trying to put words to how I felt. And I said, the only thing I can describe it as, I felt like I was in a room that I couldn't get out of, and someone turned water on, and it was like a whirlpool of water, and it came up over my head, and it wasn't calm water. It was water that rose up, and I couldn't breathe. And it was a dark, murky water, you know? That's what it felt like. felt like I was drowning. I never could get a breath. And you know the amazing thing through this experience that I've had for the last 5-6 months? I have never had an easier time preparing these lessons. You know, usually, I have to tell you, it's like a part-time job, a great job, but it's like 20 hours for every lesson in these past few years. It has been the greatest job I've ever had, by the way. The amazing thing, in the midst of these billowing waters, you know, my Heavenly Father and His Son have helped the waters recede. They've calmed the waters. They've become still. And I have never had, since this has began, more than maybe 4 to 5 hours of preparing my lessons. Talk about tender mercies of my Heavenly Father. There is no way with what I was dealing with that I could have taken 20 hours to prepare these lessons. It was like a stream of consciousness as I would sit with these words. I thought about them a lot, but as far as arranging them, literally it became between 3 and 5 hours. The tender mercies. Not only did I feel the love of my Father and Savior for me, I felt their love for you. They were not going to let this class fail. The tender mercies of the Lord. Because He has been where I have been. He has been where you have been. He has been in the depths of your despair. So He is the one that can lift you from that despair. He saw you. Remember what Isaiah said? He saw His seed during the atonement. He saw you. He saw you right now with what you're experiencing. Look with me now, if you would, in 69. We're still there. And notice this phrase in verse 20. Reproach has broken my heart, and I am full of heaviness. And I looked for some to take pity, but there was none, and for comforters, but I found none. You know, Elder Holland, he wrote this really great book on the Psalms. It's called For Times of Trouble. I don't know if any of you have read it. It's pretty cool. And he made this statement about the Savior, how He actually died. I wanted to read some of this to you because it's so beautiful. Speaking of this psalm, the reproach has broken my heart, Elder Holland says, I quote, "It should be remembered, of course, that Jesus ultimately gave His life voluntarily. He had divine life within Him, and as such, no man or force could take His life from Him. Nevertheless, there was of necessity a direct physical cause of dissolution. For His death, as Elder Talmage phrased it, and that physical cause was an irreversibly injured heart. His heart simply gave out from such pain, sorrow, and suffering. Cardiac failure had followed respiratory failure with fluid, bloody water, oozing into the pleural space surrounding the lungs. This unique victim had died of a broken heart. I am poured out like water, and all my bones are out of joint. My heart is like wax. It is melted in the midst of my bowels. Because of the singular significance and eternal consequence of this process of triumph over both death and hell, we and every generation until Christ comes again embraced from that moment on a new symbol of our covenant to sacrifice. Now the Lord requires no more sacrifice. He requires, and how telling, a broken heart from us and a contrite spirit. He dies of a broken heart, and that's what He asks of us, a broken heart and a contrite spirit, to come to Him with humility and faith. Psalms 56, on page 749. 56, verse 9. When I cry to thee, then shall mine enemies turn back. But here is the phrase of phrases that I hope more than anything you take with today. This I know, God is for me. Isn't that cool? I don't know a lot of things, but I know God is for you. You are his work and his glory. What does he do all day for you and your children? He does you. You're it. Out of everything we could possibly teach our children, isn't that it? That they know every day when they leave our house that God is for them. You know, I think to John 10, when the Savior of the world says, I am the good shepherd. I'm not a hireling. I wasn't hired to do this. I am a shepherd, and shepherds love their sheep. You remember that great talk that John Lasseter gave about the shepherd in Morocco? One of my favorites of all time. Where he was driving with the king of Morocco in a little pastoral setting, and they were driving along, and one of the limousines hit a sheep. And so everybody stops, and Elder Lasseter gets out, and he learns about this great custom. And the sheep is hit, and the law of the land states that if a sheep is hit and killed, then whoever does it needs to recompense the shepherd, you know, 100 times for, or even if it's injured, 100 times for that sheep. That's a lot of money. And then the guide said to Elder Lasseter, but the shepherd will never take the money. And Elder Lasseter was kind of shocked. And he said, well, why? He says, because of the love that the shepherd has for his sheep. He knows everyone by name. And then Elder Lasseter said he saw this shepherd in his long flowing robes go up to this little sheep that had been injured in the road. Whether he was dead or not, he didn't know. But he saw this man tenderly pick up his little sheep, cradle him in his arms, stroking the sheep, and all the while saying the same word. And Elder Lasseter said, what's he saying? And the guide said, well, he's calling him by name. All of his sheep have a name. He is the good shepherd. And the great question of this life, you guys, is the most important thing in our lives to answer is how devoted and in love with our shepherd will we be? How devoted will we be to him? He is with us in every situation. Psalm 18, and I'm going to close with some of my most favorite psalms ever. Psalm 18, and I'm hoping that these words will heal your hearts and give you hope as well, thinking about our Father and his Son. It's page 722. Psalm 18, verse 2. Actually, let's start in verse 1. I will love thee, O Lord, my strength. The Lord is my rock, my fortress, my deliverer, my God, my strength in whom I will trust, my buckler and the horn of my salvation, and my high tower. Verse 6. In my distress, I called upon the Lord, and I cried to my God. He heard my voice and out of his temple, and my cry came before him, even to his ears. Verse 16. He sent from above. He took me and drew me out of many waters. He delivered me from my strong enemy and from them which hated me, for they were too strong for me. They prevented me in the day of my calamity, but the Lord was my stay. He brought me forth also into a large place. He delivered me because he delighteth in me. The Lord rewarded me according to my righteousness, according to the cleanness of my hands hath he recompensed me. Verse 28, for thou wilt light my candle, the Lord my God will enlighten my darkness. For by thee I have run through a troop, and by my God have I leaped over a wall. Isn't that cool? As for God, his way is perfect. The word of the Lord is tried. He is a buckler to all those that trust in him. For who is God save the Lord? Or who is a rock save our God? And then finally, will you go back with me to Psalm 62 and 63? Page 752. Psalm 62, verse 1. Truly my soul waits upon God. For him comes my salvation. He only is my rock and my salvation. He is my defense. I shall not be greatly moved. Verse 5. My soul wait thou only upon God, for my expectation is from him. He only is my rock and my salvation. He, the rock of my strength, my refuge is in God. Trust in him at all times, ye people. Pour out your heart before him. God is a refuge for us. And finally in 63, beginning in verse 1, O God, thou art my God. Early will I seek thee. My soul thirsts for thee. My flesh longs for thee in a dry and a thirsty land where no water is. To see thy power and thy glory, so as I have seen thee in the sanctuary. Because thy loving kindness is better than life, my lips shall praise thee. Thus will I bless thee while I live. I will lift up my hands in thy name. My soul shall be satisfied as with marrow and fatness, and my mouth shall praise thee with joyful lips. And when I remember thee upon my bed, and I meditate on thee in the night watches, because thou hast been my help, wherefore, in the shadow of thy wings will I rejoice. Sisters, I would like you to know of my absolute love and devotion for you. I count you all as tender mercies in my life. Thank you for watching with me during these past few months that have been so hard for me. Thank you for standing with me. I love you. So to close today, we're going to go a little bit out of the norm with our standard little hymns. I wanted to close with a little video presentation about the Savior and also one of my favorite songs. It's not a hymn, but it's a shout out that our family does every Sunday. We have this song playing. It's a little bit of a rockin' song, but I thought with David as our guide, we couldn't just sing a little Be Still My Soul song. Today, we had to shout out praises to our Lord. And so with that, this is our shout out to the Lord. God be thanked for the matchless gift of his divine Son. In the sacred name of Jesus Christ, amen.